Welcome to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, brought to you by Visit Anderson, South Carolina, home of beautiful Lake Hartwell. The Rapala family of fishing products, including VMC hooks and 13 fishing rods, reels, and more. And the Bass Angler Sportsman Society. Now, here's your host, lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Our first cast segment of the show is brought to you by 13 Fishing, and we have a great deal for you right now. The Gerald Swindle Design Meta Series Rods and Inception G2 Reels are available at 13fishing.com, along with all their other great products. And for a limited time, you can get 20% off your entire order by using the discount code BASSRADIO20. That's BASSRADIO20, only at 13fishing.com. Now, I fish these rods and reels myself and could not be happier. Get 20% off with the code BASSRADIO20. This week is St. Croix Bassmasters Opens Week at the St. Lawrence River from Waddington, which is way up the river from Clayton, where the elites will wrap up the season at the end of next month. Now, we'll have a full report on that event next week, including the winner. But we are 1 week away from the Northern Swing getting underway as the Elite Series heads for St. Clair. And Florida's John Cox heads into smallmouth country in third place in the AOI standings, 28 points back of leader Kyle Welsher of Alabama. John is coming up later on in the show. The first true Northern angler on the list is last year's rookie of the year, 24-year-old Jay Shakurit, in 10th place, some 89 points back, and Jay will join us today as well. And in the leadoff role, though, we are joined with a guy who's got the fastest calculator in all of professional fishing. When I need to know about points, I got to talk to Ronnie Moore. And I'll tell you what, these next three tournaments, there's a lot going on with points because there's the AOI first and foremost, and then there's that classic cut line where there's a bunch of guys hovering right around that 40 number or so. And then there's immunity, and you know, down around the 77, 78 mark, somewhere in there, and guys are trying to make sure that they get above that number, which will get them immunity going forward on the Elite Tour. So there's a lot going on, and Ronnie Moore joins us now on the VMC Hook. Ronnie, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Tom. Yeah, I've kind of got to work out of three portfolios with the guys when they call me or text me and ask me what the outlook looks like, what the Punnett square of possibility says. You got the AOI, you got the rookie of the year, you got the classic, you've got the requalification line. There's a lot of different things that people, you know, I've had some interesting questions, even from like guys like Chris Zaldane and the Zaldane family have been like, is it possible? 100 points, three events, can he do it? And I'm like, you know, if he gets a top 20 at St. Clair, he's well on his way. If he gets a 50th, probably not. It's all about this next event coming up very soon.
Yeah, and when you talk about Chris Zaldane, you're talking about possible to make it to the Classic, I would assume, obviously. He is not in danger. Yeah. The guys have those average points. But let's start at that level because it's fascinating when you look down at the bottom of the table this year, these huge names that have had awful years this year. I mean, it's just tell it the way it is. Even, you know, Taku Ito is at 81, and you look at Zaldane at 78, and Buddy Gross at 76. I mean, there's some big time sticks down there this year. Scott Martin's at 64. What is the number, just for the sake of our listeners, what is the automatic, no questions asked, immunity, no averaging the rest of your career or anything like that, number that a guy has to be above going forward for Elites 2024?
Oh, if you're in the top 70, this is why I love that we went back to this. And there's some reasons why we had to go away from it. You know, majority of our field didn't have any tangible angler of the year standings in history. So you had to change your format since 2019 a little bit, getting back to the roots of the Elite Series. If you're in the top 70, you are safe for the next year. That is great news for some of these young guys, these second year pros that, hey, we give you two guaranteed years, but if you get in the 80s or the 90s, we're not going to hold it against you until the next season rolls around and get a top 25 in points just to stay on the Elite Series. They could make the World Championship of Bass Fishing, the Bassmaster Classic, and somehow lose their spot in the Elite. You don't want that to happen. So top 70, you're safe and secure for the Elite Series for the next season. You better get your act together so that your average doesn't plummet too much with a couple years around the 60s and 70s. You don't necessarily want that.
And cut line for the Classic, absolutely locked into the Classic, is at what, 40, 38? What is that number?
So in past years, it's been 39. And it's moved down the list because of double qualifiers from the Opens, guys who didn't fish a full division winning, giving a spot back to the Elite, things like that. This year, it's locked in 40. the farthest it can go down strictly based on elite competition is 42. Now follow me on that. 41, we could get from 40 to 41 if Gussie double qualifies, meaning if he gets in the top 40, he's also the classic champ, so it bumps down a spot. Mm-hmm. Then the final event at the St. Lawrence, if the winner of that event, it's winning in for that final event, if they are in the top 40, then it goes down another spot. So that would be from 40 to 41 and then 41 to 42. That's the goal from a lot of guys. They're saying, hey, thank goodness Gussie's close because we're going to his neck of the woods. We need a little bit of mojo to bump it down one spot. And then obviously somebody like Brian Schmidt last year, who was way out of the classic cut with three events left, made his way all the way back in. And based on if he would have gotten second or third, he would have been fine, Tom. But Brian went and won at the Mississippi River and double qualified. He went from being not qualified to double qualifying. So there's a possibility of some shakeup at the St. Lawrence where a guy who's on the ropes ends up getting in not only once but twice via points and a win. So 42 is the maximum that the elites themselves can control. Obviously, we have a couple more opens left. If somehow an elite guy or a guy who's already won an open or a guy who hasn't fished all of the events in the division wins, it can go back to the elite field and help those guys out, maybe get to 43, maybe 44. I don't see it going past 45.
Yeah, and honestly, not as many elite guys fishing opens this year with the EQ system set up. You don't see quite as many. Now, one of the guys that is fishing at least one division of opens, and this is an intriguing spot here, 48 and 49. I'm keeping a close eye there because that's Jason Christie and Luke Palmer, and this is their backyard in Tulsa at Grand Lake. And, you know, Jason Christie especially, the only reason he's fishing any opens is to, you know, try and guarantee what, you know, another opportunity to lock in to the Classic. He's frothing at the bit to get that done. And here's a guy that 2 years ago, this is what makes the Classic so hard. This guy 2 years ago was a Bassmaster Classic champion, and now he's battling like crazy to get in on a lake that he considers, you know, basically one of his home lakes.
Christy, I texted him and said, hey, are you going to fish the Open at Ozarks later this year? And he said, honestly, I hope I don't have to because that would be well after the elite season ends, and I want to already be in the Classic before that event rolls around. So maybe he can jump in and join me on Bassmaster Live like he did last year and co-host one of the Open shows. If he's already done his job in these last three elites, which I'd assure with a win at St. Clair, he's had some decent results at Champlain, you know, and then obviously St. Lawrence, hopefully his job's done by then. So he doesn't have to worry about Grand Lake.
All right. So then at the top of the table, Ronnie Moore with us from Bassmaster Live. At the top of the table, now we look at the guys, a 12-point lead for Kyle Welcher over Brandon Cobb. John Cox, who's coming up later on in the show, he is in third place. Now, Cox has done very well at Champlain. He has an 11th in an open there and a 15th in an elite series there. He also has a 69th. He doesn't like to fish deep, so it'll be very interesting to see what John Cox can do at his spot. Tyler Rivetto, Louisiana, Drew Cook down south. Will Davis, Alabama, Patrick Walter, South Carolina, Drew Benton, Hunter Shry. You get all the way to Jay Shakurik, who's coming up after you, before you get to a guy that we think of as a northern guy. And, you know, he's about 90 points back or so and 89 points back. And a lot of people feel like you're chasing Jay Shakurik based on how he finished last year.
Yeah, I think that all nine of those quote-unquote largemouth southern anglers in the top 10 in points above Jay Shakurik are kind of thinking they're lucky stars that they did a lot of their work, because 89 points from first to 10th, that's doable. But the way I like to break it down, you think about a Chad Pipkins, way down the leaderboard, wanting to make the Classic. I think he's in the 60s in points. He's like 75 points from the Classic, and he said, I've got to just go and get some top 30s, top 25s. You know, 50th is kind of par for the Elite Series field. Out of 100 guys, you get a 50th, you kind of maintain. I need to gain 20, 25, 30 points on some of these guys to get to that Classic line. Well, think about this, Tom. When you get to the top, these guys haven't slipped at all year. They've either been ultra consistent, or they've had a bomb but maybe a win, or they've had a bomb and maybe a couple top 10s. These guys are going to be ones that's harder to gain points on, but like you said, their strength isn't smallmouth. So the fact that he's going to have to make up 30 points per tournament on nine guys, roughly, you know, ahead of him. I mean, if he goes and pops off a top 15 at St. Clair, the opportunity is most definitely there. If Jay Shakurik gets a 40th, and let's just say the other nine guys in AOI are in the top 50 as well, it's basically at this point, Jay has to have some guys come back to him in the field. He can't necessarily just go expect the top 10 in AOI to just not do their job these final three events. Someone out of that top 10 will go on a hot streak and prove themselves wrong in the small master swing and figure it out. Guys, I think Patrick Walters, mm-hmm. I think Drew Benton, and I really think Tyler Revesque could surprise us at St. Clair for being the best forward-facing sonar lake in the country, most likely. That's what a lot of people have dubbed it as. St. Clair, you don't have to be a good smallmouth angler to win it. Bill Weidler from Alabama won it a few years ago. I think that the opportunity, John Cox has done well. Jake Whitaker's done well, not smallmouth guys. I think St. Clair's a lake that you can get away with not being a smallmouth guy and survive. So it's really going to kind of call me after St. Clair, and we'll kind of know
New
York who's for real and who's still maybe a pretender for AOI. They've had a great year, but who's still a pretender for the number one spot? I think it's wide open, but, I mean, I'm not going to count out the leaders, obviously. Those guys have done their work. Someone's going to have a magical smallmouth run, and I wouldn't put it past Welcher, Cobb, Cox, Rivette, Cook, Davis, any of those top six guys. But then it gets intriguing below sixth place for sure.
Bryony Morton is Dakota Lithium screen of knowledge on the radio. He's our go-to guy whenever we want to talk numbers, that's for sure. Bryony, I appreciate you so much. We'll be watching next week.
Of course, Tom. I look forward to it. 4 days of great fishing at Lake St. Clair.
Yeah, it's going to be outstanding. All right, coming up next, a guy that a lot of people are thinking they're chasing, Jay Shakurik. We just talked about him. We'll talk to him next right here on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And now an opportunity to talk to Jay Shakurik. Now, this guy is nothing if not consistent. He was 10th in the Angler of the Year points last year. He won the Rookie of the Year last year. And he enters the Northern Swing 10th in the AOI standings again this year. He's a young man that's, 24 years old maybe. He joins us now. Jay, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Consistency, man. I mean, as young as you are, you figured out the consistent deal. You were 10th at the end of the day last year. You entered the Northern Swing 10th this year. You came on strong last year to win the Rookie of the Year. Is there some method to the madness in terms of the points, or are you just looking to try and win everything and just let it fall where it falls?
Oh, man, I don't know. Where do I even start this season? It started off, down in Florida. The nerves were high again, just like we started off my rookie year down in Florida. Mm-hmm. And, fortunately I came out, I was 1-for-2 down in Florida, made one cut, another cut, not so much. And then so happened to be it, that second tournament in Florida was the only cut I've missed so far this year. So, I mean, it's been far better, than I thought it was going to go, the next five tournaments throughout the Southern Swing, just because, you got a Sabine River and other places that I've never been to. I've never fished a Lake Murray that time of the year and things like that. But, honestly, in practice, I put together enough to where I thought I could make the cut, fishing those tournaments. Maybe not necessarily win. Lay Lake was a little bit of a curveball and all that. I ended up taking fifth there, which was huge for points. And, the rest of the tournaments, I kind of just slid in, above the points where I wanted to be, and it worked out. But, that can always go either way, but I'm definitely fortunate with the way the year's gone so far.
Seventh at the Bassmaster Classic as well in Knoxville, so you had a good classic to get things rolling there.
Yeah.
You mentioned the 17th at Okeechobee, and yeah, it was a dog for you at Seminole, but is it offset by Lay Lake? I mean, if you'd have told me going in, yeah, Seminole, I'd be happy with top 30, and Lay Lake, if I could make top 30 at both of those, and you end up, 72 at Seminole and 5 at Lay Lake, so maybe it all kind of works out.
Yeah, I felt like it all kind of worked out. Honestly, and it's funny because, even before, the tournaments even happened, Seminole, in the back of my mind, was the one that I thought I was going to struggle the most in. And it happens to be that it was my worst tournament so far this year. So, I don't know. I guess I've just kind of – it was also my worst practice I've had and things like that. I'm kind of a guy where, if I have a terrible practice, Usually I don't randomly stumble into something in a tournament. Now that happens sometimes, but you know, I'm a guy that likes to know what I'm going to have to do during the tournament, you know, to make the cut or ultimately win. And, yeah, fortunately my practices have been pretty decent this year, so I've been happy with it.
So last year, the Northern Swing, well, kind of the Northern Swing, Northern Swing, I guess, as you guys went out to Lake Oahe as well in South Dakota and then finished up in La Crosse, Wisconsin on the upper Mississippi River. But you won out of Clayton. So you got the victory out of Clayton and then 13th in South Dakota and then 12th at the Mississippi River to wrap it up and wrap up the rookie of the year. Now, I'm not the math guy. I mean, that's Ronnie Moore, you know, with the calculator, figure this stuff out. But let me tell you something. It feels like if you go 113-12, you're going to be the angler of the year. I mean, it just seems that kind of a finish. I mean, do you allow yourself to think that way, or are you thinking not thinking past day one, you know, at St. Clair?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that still has to happen this year yet for me to even think about winning angler of the year, just because, you know, it'd be different if we were fishing southern bodies of water. There's so many more variables that get put in place when fishing these northern fisheries, like a St. Clair. Like first day we could go out, you know, they let us go, and let's say there's 4 and 5 footers out on the lake, and you know, my fish are 15-20 miles away. There's so many more variables that are in place now that are gonna, you know, basically stop me from trying to win angler of the year. Now, I don't know, you know, doing the mathematics at it, if I do take, you know, top 15s in every tournament, I feel like I have a pretty good shot, but we're a long ways from that. And there's a lot of work to be done yet on the big water.
Yeah. And some of the big sticks that are, you know, northern guys are down behind you quite a ways. I'm looking at Seth Fider down at 29. You know, you look at some of the other guys that are down a little ways. Bob Downey is at 34. Chris Johnson, 39. Gussie, of course, you know, Bassmaster Classic champion. But as far as the rest of the season go, 45. Mm-hmm. So these guys are all kind of behind you. And it's hard not to notice that the crew in front of you, the, you know, Drew Benton, Patrick Walters, Will Davis, crew cut. These are all southern guys. Louisiana, Alabama, Florida, John Cox, you know, South Carolina with Brandon Cobb, Alabama with Kyle Welcher. A bunch of southern guys, and they're coming to your neck of the woods. I mean, that's got to give you at least a little bit of confidence that, you know, that I know they're all looking at you. That's for sure. Every one of them that I've talked to is looking at you at 10.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely cool to think that, especially, you know, me coming in, this is only my second year, and I've been watching these guys on TV, you know, my entire life. I've watched John Cox, you know, almost win a tournament at St. Clair. I mean, these guys, they don't make it to this level, and they can't not catch smallmouth. I mean, they're going to go out and catch smallmouth. That's the thing about, you know, fishing up here is a lot of guys are going to catch them, and the guys that are in front of me in the AOI, you know, they're no slouches at all when it comes to northern fisheries. I mean, these guys have been in the top 10, you know, multiple times throughout all these tournaments. So, I mean, I don't really think, you know, obviously, yeah, smallmouth, I live around smallmouth. I kind of know what to do on the Great Lakes and, you know, all these different places to fish for them. But at the same time, these guys have gotten so good over the past, you know, even 2 years, 3 years, you look at it ever since, you know, the LiveScope came out and all that. It's crazy to think, you know, that I might have maybe a little bit of advantage, but you really don't, just because these guys are so good and, you know, they're going to catch them, and I'm just going to have to try and catch them a little better.
24 years old, Jay Shakur, our guest here, and just 24 years old last month, and, you know, out of Wisconsin, and you look at what your career has looked like already. I mean, you go back to 2020 when you won the Eastern Open at Lay Lake, where you finished fifth on the Elite this year. And then 2019, that Central Open Championship that you won in the Opens at Grand Lake, which just happens to be where the Classic is next year. I mean, I don't know. What were you, 20 years old, 19 years old when you won at Grand Lake? I mean, goodness gracious.
Did you? Yeah, what was it? I can't think.
Well,
it's
2019.
So, yeah, 20.
You were maybe 20 years old. Did you think that it could happen this quick when you, like you say, you've been watching these guys on TV and now you're out there and you're more than a contender. You're right there with them.
No, I did not think any of this would happen this quick. To be honest with you, my long-term goals were to basically, you know, finish up high school. I went to a tech school for a couple of years. I actually worked at a local auto shop where my boss let me fish. You know, basically it was a longer term plan of let me get financially stable first and then start trying to qualify for the elites. I didn't know if that was going to be, you know, my late 20s, could have been my early 30s. I really didn't know when I was going to start trying to qualify. But the way everything happened, and, you know, I won those two events as a co-angler. I fished as a boater the following year. And next thing I know, three tournaments in one division, I qualify for the Elite Series. It all just happened so fast, and honestly still sinking in all the moments because, you know, now I'm 24. I look back at it, I was 21. I feel like I was just 21 back when I won, you know, the co-angler tournament. So I'm soaking it all in, and I'm really excited for this Northern Swing coming up.
Oh, wait, it'll be about a minute, and all of a sudden you'll be 34, you know? I mean, it moves fast. There's no doubt about it. 30 tournaments with Bass in your career, more than half of those you finish in the top 30. That's nuts. $308,000 in winnings in 30 tournaments, including opens as a co. So, I mean, that's over $10,000 per tournament that you open every time you launch your boat in a tournament. That's pretty impressive stuff. There's no doubt about it. And everybody's going to for you. All right, finally, have you learned yet whether or not you're going to have a camera on day one at St. Clair? Because I know if I'm the one making the call, I'm going to put a camera in Shakurit's boat right off the get-go.
I have not heard yet. So I'm hoping... Well, I don't care. I mean, I'll take a camera whether I have it or not. I'm just going to fish like I'm fishing at home, so it's not going to bother me too much if I get one or if I don't.
Look, Jay, the cocky answer is I don't care if I have one on opening day because I'll have one on the second, third, and fourth days anyway.
Yeah.
That's the cocky answer. That's the way you got to feel. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, it has been an interesting season to this point. And now this Northern Swing comes up. And of course, you will defend at the St. Lawrence right at the end as well, out of Clayton. So all of those things kind of setting up for you. And we wish you the best of luck here. Down the stretch, it's going to be fun to watch.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
All right, thank you. That's Jay Shakurit. And look, it's hard to say his name. Took me a few times to get it figured out when you look at it. I mean, it starts with a P. But this kid, you better learn how to say it because this kid is not going anywhere, and he is nothing but an ATM machine when he gets there out on the water. He is just absolutely outstanding. Speaking of outstanding, John Cox, yeah, he doesn't suck. He's third in the points heading north. We'll see how John Cox feels about his chances as he will join us in the cleanup role next. John Cox right here on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, the segment of the show brought to you by the fine folks at Lake Harwell and visitanderson.com. I'll tell you what, they do such a tremendous job there. And, you know, not only is Hartwell beautiful, but Green Pond Landing is amazing as well. It should be the blueprint for lakes all over the country, really, to set up their ramp areas and so on at Green Pond Landing. It's incredible. And they just have so many great tournaments there as well. And when you go to Anderson, it's more than just Lake Hartwell. It's Anderson, South Carolina as well. It's an absolutely great southern town. It's worth putting on your bucket list, not only Hartwell, but Anderson, South Carolina. All right, joining us now, a guy who is, I always call him the busiest man in professional fishing. He's usually fishing like in every circuit. I found out that there's another John Cox out there, though. So he's not fishing as many tournaments as I originally thought he was. I just didn't understand it. There was another dude named John Cox that fishes on one of the pro circuits. But John Cox joins us now, third in the Angler of the Year standings. John, welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, good. How are you?
I am fantastic. Third place going into the Northern Swing. I bet you just assumed that they had like another Florida Swing, like a Florida Swing to start the season and another one to end the season. Give you three more tournaments in Florida, you're going to win the Angler of the Year.
Oh, gosh. You know, that's normally at this point, I want to have about a good 60 to 80 point lead going into these Northern tournaments. But, you know, being in third, you know, anytime you can be there, I mean, anything could. I mean, something magical could happen. I mean, we could land on them. We could get hot. You know, smallmouth tournaments, it just seems like when you get on them, you get on them for like a month or two, you know, and you just catch them. And, So I don't know. So I got, you know, I got high hopes, but we'll see what happens.
Well, before we get to next week and the following two events, take me back a week or so to ICAST right there in the neighborhood for you over in Orlando. And just tell me some of the cool stuff that Berkeley came out with, because I saw some pretty good baits that they debuted.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite, especially like during the testing, and then I finally got some of the smaller ones, are the Nessies. It's a soft glide bait. I have no idea how to throw glide baits or ever thrown them before, so it was completely new to me. And even in that one, that it just made it so simple. You throw it out, you reel it in, it looks like a shiner or a shad coming through the water, and the fish just come up and inhale it. So that one, I'm really excited about getting some more of those. I'm down to my last two. And, you know, that was one. And then another one that's really cool is the new Swamp Lord. It's new Berkeley's new line of frogs that Bobby Lane made. And, man, they're not, we got a popping one and then like a mat walking one. And both of them are nice and soft. So you got really good hookup ratios. And the colors are awesome. I mean, some of the best colors I've ever seen in frogs. We have them in it. So those are like my two main excitements at ICAST for sure.
And I know you pro staff guys, you know, you're there, you're hired by these companies to help sell baits. I mean, there's no doubt about that, but you're also a professional fisherman. How often do the pros just kind of like slow play it a little bit? Like, you know what, maybe we need to tweak this a little bit more before we get it out to the public and just hang on to that stuff. Cause you've been fishing some of this stuff for like a year, probably now.
I know.
At this point.
I there's a lot of times where I'm like, I'll have to say like, so last year, I think it might have been like the Super Trooper crawl, you know, Max Scent crawl. Like the whole time, I'm like, I don't want to talk about this thing. Like it is so good, and like, you know, kind of, you know. But then it just gets to a point where it's like, you know, I don't want to get fired, you know. So I started talking about it, and it is, you know, the same thing with those swim baits. I personally never threw the small ones until recently. We took a trip to Hartwell, you know, right there where we take our summer trip there. Every summer with the kids, the tube and everything. And, man, I was throwing that soft glide in the 5-inch and, gosh, it was amazing how many fish I caught on it.
Now, see, I didn't even know that you take your summer vacation at Hartwell. And here, this segment being brought to us by the folks at Visit Anderson. And, man, Hartwell, have you been seeing some of the weights that are coming out of there? I mean, it's amazing. Some of these one-day tournaments that have been won 22, 24, 25 pounds. I mean, that lake is just phenomenal. And if fish is so big, that's what's great about it. It's not like everybody's on top of each other.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a blast. So we do, you know, I drag the kids because we don't tube in Florida because of all the alligators and stuff.
Sure.
So I drag them around on the tube until they can't handle it anymore. And then just I pull up in any pocket. And that's what's cool about that place is there's fish all over it. A fish is massive. So you can, you know, if it's crowded in one area, you can just move to a whole different part of the lake or to get out of the wind, whatever it is. And it's different watercolors throughout the whole thing. So it's a super cool lake. I got my win back there in 2016,
yeah.
That really saved my career fishing because I went 4 or 5 years without a win, and, you know, and that win really helped, you know, keep going and stuff. So, you know, Hartwell has always been a special place in my heart for sure.
And everybody should have a ramp like they got a Green Pond Landing, right? I mean, that whole setup
Oh,
isn't that sweet?
It is. Every time we have the classic there, there's no worry about anything in the morning because I know, you know, the facility is so good that they're able to get us in there, and, you know, and all the spectators and everything are able to fit there perfectly. So that one is by far the least stressful takeoff and weigh-in ever at that ramp.
I always take my wife anytime I go over there, whether I'm fishing in a tournament or whether or not we're covering a tournament, and I always take her with me because Anderson's such a cool little town, too. I mean, nice restaurants. It feels bigger than it is, but it's still a small southern town, and it's just really nice. We stay right up in town and everything else, and it's a cool place to go to.
Yeah, and it's also it's really central from everything. Yeah. That's a lot of times when we're there, you know, if we're traveling, we're always passing through there, it seems. So it's always nice to stop and, you know, and relax for a day or so before we start driving again.
All right, I'll call Neil Paul and have him send you part of my check so you can get a little sponsor from those guys. That's tremendous stuff. And back to ICAST for just a minute. You as a fisherman – How much time do you spend just kind of looking at the new stuff and be, ooh, I like that. And even if it's not a sponsor product, you know what I mean? It's like, I might want to try that plastic, or I might want to try that with the, you know, that weight. I love what they did with that. You know, the fisherman in you, it must be like being a, you know, Christmas in July.
Right. Oh yeah. No, it is for sure. And I mean, one of my favorite, I guess would probably be the Savage Gear stuff is like, it's so crazy. Some of the baits they have, some of the swim baits, that's, and they had the tank there this year, and they're running some baits through it. And I was just like, there's always quite a few on there. I'm like, ooh, man, I'd like to try a couple of them.
Yeah.
You know, they had some really cool stuff this year, too.
So we talk about the fact, John Cox with us here, we talk about the fact that you are third in the Angler of the Year standings. So with three tournaments to go all up north, you're in really solid shape, obviously, for Tulsa and the Bassmaster Classic next year. Is there a certain amount, I mean, short of, you know, winning a classic and knowing that you're in, you know, at this particular point in time, you're pretty much locked in. Is there a certain amount of confidence and freeness come in your fishing, knowing that with three events to go, you're pretty much locked into the classic?
Yeah, I mean, that's always, you know, it's nice to get locked in that, but you never know, anything can happen. But, I mean, to win, I want to win the AOI thing. I feel like we've been there so close and everything. And, you know, I've been fighting the forward facing, and I was like, you know, I should put it on. You know, we got three smallmouth ones. And then I'm just thinking, like, you know, how epic would it be to win without it?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of just going to go without it and see what happens. And, you know, I think if we're supposed to pull it off, it'll happen. And, you know, it's crazy on those fisheries, the weights are so close. And you can catch them and finish almost at the back of the pack. So, you know, just a few key bites, those three tournaments will really go a long way, I think. And maybe we'll have a shot at it.
That's amazing. I mean, sometimes the difference between a 20-pound bag and a 22-pound bag, and it'll be 30 guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah. A couple pounds, it's unbelievable.
And it could be one bite, you know, it could be just that one six and a quarter that got away or whatever. And you know, kind of separates everybody else. And you've had a really nice season, obviously coming in. You don't get the third without having a nice season, but you were great at Seminole, finishing 14th there, and the 28th at Santee Cooper, and then Lay Lake 15th. And, you know, really, it's kind of odd to say Okeechobee was your dog. You finished 49th. You still made a cut. That's your worst. You know, you made a good check there, but that's your worst deal, and it's probably more your kind of fish than any place else.
I know, and that you know, Okeechobee is in the past has done that to me too. I think it's when you have an idea of what you need to find to win, it's hard to settle in that tournament and just settle and be like, okay, let me finish. You know, let me just try to get in the top 10, or let me try to get in the top 20. And I feel like that's what I always do, you know, shoot for that 30-pound bag and then end up scrambling the last 2 hours, catching what we can to just get a check, you know. And that was for sure, that was that tournament. I mean, it was the only time we really got around productive stuff was only a couple hours each day. And then the rest of the stuff was just, you know, chasing, trying to find something to catch bigger ones. But, yeah, but we'll see. I mean, you just you never know. And, I mean, these last three, they're definitely my last three. They're my favorite smallmouth fisheries out of all of them.
That's good. That's a good thing. There's no doubt. We'll take a short break. We'll come back more with John Cox. He'll explain to us exactly how he'll attack these three bodies of water as well. We'll do that next. You are listening to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio as we visit with John Cox here. And, John, you head north for these three tournaments. Now, you know, the big water potential, obviously, in all of these cases, you've got big water. And you know, you run that Crestliner boat, you know, that the Tim boat, if you will. You've won a lot of money out of that deal. It's a big boat, a wide boat. A lot of times when you're fishing and you're on live, it almost looks like you're fishing off a barge in the front. I mean, it's amazing how big it is. But just talk about that boat in the heavy water, you know, in those big waters, and if it changes things for you compared to some of these other guys when you have to run heavy water.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this boat's been great. We're finally, you know, I've been with Crestliner now, I think it's been 12 or 13 years. And this boat, I mean, it's like, you know, when you put that many years in and making changes and stuff, this boat is great for shallow water fishing like I like to do. And it's also runs quite well in the bigger waves because it's so responsive, you know, with my Mercury outboard 250 on this one. You know, I'm able to actually surf a lot of those waves pretty easily with it. And, yeah, so it's not like I'm going to be restricted to any area. You know, I can pretty much go anywhere most of the other guys can go. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm excited to get up there and run around. I don't really think there's too many places where it will be, like, you know, having to go real shallow or up at really any rivers or anything. See a lot of main lake stuff. And, you know, I'll probably swap over and you know, put some kind of you know, spot lock trolling motor from the Fortrex I usually have on there. But yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So this Northern Swing starts next week with St. Clair. Now this isn't the deepest of the deep water. Talk about how you prepare for St. Clair. You know, it is obviously smallmouth fishery. But what is it that John Cox is looking for? Because you famously once said going to the St. Lawrence River, you said, I'm going to have to go deep, probably more than 6 feet. And it was, you know, pretty funny. But, you know, St. Clair is like a big bowl almost, if you will. I mean, it's not super deep. So how do you attack it?
Right. You know, St. Clair is a tough one. It is. It's a giant bowl. There's not really much contour, but you can get out there on those flats, and usually the fish are all in like a, you know, a usual like 5-6 mile area. That's usually where a lot of the fishing goes. It's like they those fish travel in big schools around that lake. And once you find that area, you usually kind of find some little spots in it. And I just get on the trolling motor a lot and I troll around. I'll visually look for some fish and then, just make a lot of casts, you know, do a lot of soak in the max scent out there and just try to get bites in some key areas. And then, and I mean, I've been there a lot too. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. This is probably St. Clair. It's probably, I don't know. It's probably like my 12th or 13th time going, I think. And, so yeah, I got a lot of old spots to look at and some new stuff and, yeah, we'll see if we can run into them there.
And then there's Champlain. And Champlain, of course, you know, you talk about it as a smallmouth place. There's also a lot of great largemouth opportunities at Champlain. There's places you can go. Not as many people seem to go to Ticonderoga as much anymore, but there are still places that you can go and you can get in grass and you can fish largemouth. But it's been a interesting deal for you. In 21, you finished 22nd there. The last time before that, you were like 69th back in 2020. But in 2018, right, you were, you know, in the top 15 there. So it's like a love-hate relationship. It seems like you've cashed some pretty good checks at Champlain in the past.
Yeah, I mean, Champlain's one of my favorite lakes out of all of them. And my thing is, it's another place I've been going there since I was 18. So I don't know how many years, and I know I've learned so much over the years of different areas and stuff. And it's always comes down to me being stubborn, like, you know, I'm going to catch largemouth today, or I'm going to go after smallmouth today. And you just can't make that call until you get going. And that's what I'm starting to learn. You know, I'm waiting for, I feel like one of these times we're going to get to Champlain and we're going to have a shot to win, you know, because we've never had that opportunity. And I feel like, you know, the little bit of pieces of the puzzle we put together each trip, that sooner or later we're going to get just a little bit more dialed and, you know, hopefully make a top 10 there.
In that 2018 Open there, I fished in that tournament as well. You finished 11th in that one. Was that a mixed bag for you? Did you have a lot? Because I remember Wesley Strader tore up the largemouth in that one and did really well with some largemouth. But was that a mixed bag for you, or was that all smallmouth?
Well, honestly, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I actually caught him in about 25 feet, dropping straight down to him with the flatworm.
I didn't know you had that in your game. Oh, look at that!
Yeah, I know. And I really enjoyed it then and stuff. But as you know, the sonar, like everybody, you know, forward facing everything,
right?
You don't seem to be able to drop straight on him anymore. But I did the first day. I think I caught 21 pounds catching him out deep smallmouth, and then the second day I caught largemouth in that tournament, and I don't remember what day three happened, but yeah, it was just, you know, we moved around, we made the right calls in that one, and you know, maybe we'll, I don't think I'm gonna do anything out deep there, but you never know.
And then out of, and then you wrap it up out of Clayton. You were 58 there last year. But again, you can catch a lot of fish and end up 50. Yeah, I think you had basically 20 pounds a day. I believe you had 40 pounds. Yeah, you had 39.9 in 2 days and went home. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. I know. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. I mean, that's how – that's the kind of stuff, you know, that if we're supposed to win AOI, we'll get those breaks where we catch, you know, that five-pounder, you know, a day or whatever it is that pushes us over into the cut each time. Because, I mean, I truly believe, I think, you know, if we could finish, if we got three top 30s, I think we'll get it. And if we don't, whoever else gets it, you know, they deserve it.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm thinking. You know, we, you know, if we can get three top, and it's weird, I don't think I've made a top 10 yet this year. So I'm like, I feel like we're overdue for some top 10s.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, I don't know.
Well, you know, when you look at the guys, it's really interesting because Kyle Welcher, Alabama dude, Brandon Cobb, South Carolina, Tyler Rivette, Louisiana, yep. Drew Cook, Will Davis, yep. Alabama. These are all Southern guys until you get down to Jay Shakurit, who was on the show today earlier. Yeah. You know, he's the only one that's got any kind of – he's 10th. You know, it's almost like you got to look behind a little bit. Even Ike and Ellie at 12th, you know, one of those guys could jump up and really make it interesting from the, you know, coming up behind.
Yeah, if I am not able to win for some reason, I truly believe that when I look at the list, I see Jay, you know, I mean he could three top 10 the next three, you know.
Yeah.
And that's very doable for him. You know, he's really good. All year we fish next to each other, and every time we come in he seems to be a pound and a half or two more than me.
Yeah.
So he's catching them really well, and you know, I mean, we'll see. I mean, he's one of the got top 10 for sure to watch for.
One of the happiest guys out on tour is John Cox. Always got a smile and a laugh. John, keep that up. We're pulling for you. Good luck on this northern swing. And let's see, man. I mean, third place going in. It's not the 30 or 40 point lead you want going north, but it's you're right there. You're knocking on the door.
Yeah. Yeah. Appreciate it. Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
All right, man. Appreciate you. That is John Cox. Great fisherman. Does a tremendous job. Runs that Crestliner all over the place. And if you told John Cox, hey, we're going to have a tournament, no electronics, he'd be all over it, man. He would be all over it. He's like an old school guy that's really not that old. All right, before we put the Bassmaster Radio Phoenix back on the trailer, let me tell you a little bit about the new line of plastics from Rapala, the Crush City Series. These were introduced at ICAST, but they have already accounted for hundreds of thousands of dollars from Rapala pros already in the developmental phase. There is the Freeloader, which is a trailer that pairs perfectly with your favorite bladed jig, and the Mayor, a swim bait in two sizes that can be fished alone or on a swim jig or on a spinnerbait trailer. I'm a big fan of the smaller version on my spinnerbaits. The Cleanup Craw is exactly as it sounds. It's a creature bait in the crawfish family that will clean up for you. And the Bronco Bug is one of the most unique baits to come along in a while, with these heavy appendages that kind of dolphin kick back and forth and drive the bass wild. These Crush City products in some really amazing colors will be available this fall at all your major outlets. Well, there are three events left on the Elite schedule, and the Northern Swing heads to St. Clair next week and then Lake Champlain and the Thousand Islands, and it's not too late to get into Rapala Fantasy Fishing. And don't forget our group that we have set up for you, the Beat Bassmaster Radio Group. All you got to do is go to Bassmaster.com, click on Fantasy Fishing, create an account and log in, and then select join a group from the group's pull down. And each week, the high point earner in our group wins a prize package from our great sponsors here at Bassmaster Radio. And finally, if you are looking for the best in sublimated fishing jerseys, the best in the business is Valley Fashions. Now, they have all the major logos, and they'll set up your artwork for you, and they'll get your jerseys turned around quickly. Valley Fashions has incredible stock designs, and they'll work with you on a custom design if you'd like. Valley Fashions has done our jerseys at Bassmaster Radio for the last several years, and I couldn't be happier. Visit VFOutdoors.com to get your order started today. Long sleeve, short sleeve, hoodies, and more. It's VFOutdoors.com. Remember, if you missed any of this week's show, it's always just a click away at Bassmaster.com/radio, and all the shows are archived there as well. So until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.